Chapter 13. The ride to the community center in Ruth's Oldsmobile was as harrowing as usual. There was a reason Lexi usually drove, even though Ruth's car was much roomier. Ruth hit every pothole and veered onto every curb as she maneuvered the big boat of a car slowly along the streets of Brook Ridge Falls. At least Ida wasn't driving. When she drove, it was more like driving on the track of the Indy 500 than on the back roads of a small town. There were no parties or functions, and it was too early for a bingo or a group gathering to watch Wheel of Fortune. So the community center parking lot was empty, except for a small blue Toyota. Ruth still insisted on parking perfectly, backing up and inching forward 4 or 5 times to make sure she was lined up in the space.
"That's Sylvia Hensel's car," Ruth said. "She gave me a ride to the pharmacy once when the Olds was in storage for the winter."
"Good. We'll get to talk to her alone," Nan said as she pushed open the door, ignoring the metallic groan it made.
They headed down the hallway toward the offices, meeting Sylvia, who was on her way out.
"Oh, I'm sorry," Sylvia said. She was dressed in a smart black pantsuit with a pretty green top. Still the same pearl necklace that she always wore, but diamond earrings sparkled in her ears instead of the usual pearls.
"I was just on my way out. I really can't talk to you right now."
"Please."
Nan's didn't budge, blocking Sylvia's way, though her smile remained polite.
"Please, we only have a few more questions. It won't take long."
Sylvia sighed and gestured for Nan's to go into the office, her expression as reluctant as her tone.
"Yes, all right, but make it quick. I have places to go and things to do."
"Perfect," Nan said, as the rest of them crowded into the tiny space. Nan's and Helen took the 2 available remaining seats, while everyone else stood behind them, facing Sylvia. The office was perhaps 10 by 10, with a wraparound desk with upper shelves built in. It took up at least half the space, leaving little room for anything else. The walls and carpet were bland beige, and there was 1 framed photo on the wall of a Paris street scene. Nothing remarkable. The desktop itself overflowed with papers and stacks of binders.
"Okay," Nance continued, balancing her purse on her lap. "We want to know what happened to the book that was the prize for the pie-eating contest."
"What about it?"
Sylvia asked, frowning.
"Do you know where it is now?"
Helen asked.
"Well, Mary always kept it locked in her office safe. I told her it was silly. The book was only worth 25 cents, but she said that was where she always kept the prizes. I could see her keeping the Cactus Joe's vouchers there. At least those were worth something. Anyway, I assume that's where it still is."
Sylvia seemed confused, frowning.
"Why?"
"Do you know if she had the book with her right before she was murdered?" Lexi crossed her arms, cutting to the chase. Perhaps it was the kerfuffle with Ida and her weight, but Lexi was feeling a bit feisty. "You said she went to her office to get the contest trophy. Was it possible she grabbed the book from her safe while she was in there too?"
I don't know."
Sylvia sat back, her face pale.
"I'm not sure I understand what that old book has to do with anything anyway."
"A lot, we're guessing," Ida said. "That's why we need to pinpoint what's happened to it. Can you tell us everything you remember about the moments leading up to Mary's body being found in the pie room?" Nan said. "You said you were talking with Mary in her office. Think back. Do you recall if she had the book with her?"
Sylvia shook her head.
"I'm not sure. I wasn't really paying attention."
"Where is her safe?" Ruth asked. "Can we see it? Are you able to open it?"
Sylvia nodded and pulled the key on a blue ribbon from her drawer before standing. She led them next door to Mary's office. While the rooms were approximately the same size with the same type of desks, Mary's space, by contrast, was clean and tidy, everything seemingly in its place. The walls and carpet were done in a cheerful shade of warm mauve, and there were numerous photos of Mary and Howard, and people Lexi assumed were their children and grandchildren. Sylvia walked to the safe mounted at shoulder level in the wall opposite Mary's desk. Lexi held her breath as Sylvia unlocked the safe and opened the door wide so they could all see inside. "It's empty," Nance proclaimed. Sylvia peered inside. "Why, that's odd. I could have sworn it would be there." She looked around the room. "Does anyone else have a key to this safe?" Ruth asked, peering inside the empty space. She used to be involved with mobsters and the like. If anyone would be familiar with the inside of a safe, it would be Ruth. "There are only two keys. Mary always wore one around her neck when she was working." Sylvia's voice caught on a tiny sob. "Is that hers?" Ruth pointed to the key strung on a blue ribbon. Sylvia frowned at the key. "This? Oh, no. This is the extra from security. I guess Mary's was still around her neck when..." "There, there." Helen patted her shoulder, giving the rest of the group a glance. "Seems Mary took the center security quite seriously."
"Yes, she did," Sylvia sniffled. "She was president, after all."
"I didn't know her that well," Lexi said, sympathy for the grieving woman pinching her heart. "But when I met with her about the catering for the party, Mary struck me as a stickler for keeping things orderly and safe. She mentioned the keypads on the doors for entry and how she would assign Cassie and me temporary cards that would be good for the day of the party only, so we could get everything set up ahead of time if the place was locked. She said that while they'd let the cameras fall by the wayside, she'd made sure to keep up with the access codes, said she never gave them out to anyone, and instructed all her staff and the members to do the same. She also mentioned the windows were always locked. I'd asked about using them to cool the pies that day, but it wasn't an option. She always had everyone else's best interests at heart. Poor woman." Nan shook her head, then took the key from Sylvia's hand and held it up by the ribbon.
"So, is this the master key, then?"
"Yes," Sylvia exhaled slowly, staring down at her toes. "As I said, because Mary is gone, I figured I should keep this one handy until I get hers back from the police. I imagine it must be in her personal effects that went to Howard." They went back to Sylvia's office, and Nance took her seat again while the rest of them gathered behind her. Ida and Ruth leaned against the wall near the hallway.
"The last time we spoke to you, Sylvia, you mentioned seeing Howard in the hallway during your conversation with Mary. Is there any chance you might have been mistaken?"
"I don't think so," Sylvia said, pulling out some tissues to dab her nose.
"Why?" "Chandler Bennington and Howard are about the same height and build," Ida said. She made a show of peering out into the rather dimly lit hallway.
"Do you think you could have gotten the two confused?"
"No," Sylvia's tone was adamant. "I'm sure it was Howard. I even saw him again from the kitchen when I went in there after finishing with Mary."
"Why were you in the kitchen?"
Lexi asked, bristling. Lexi liked things to be a certain way during her catering events. She organized the kitchen to run smoothly, and she'd had problems before with clients getting into the kitchen and messing things up. Mary had promised during their meeting about the catering that no one but Cassie and she would have been in that area.
Oh, she gave Lexi a sheepish look.
Don't worry, Lexi. It had nothing to do with your wonderful pies. I just wanted to make sure no one had left the ovens on by accident. Mary had told me not to go in there, but I worry.
And that's when you saw Howard in the hall?
Nance persisted.
Yes.
Sylvia twisted the tissue in her hands.
I mean, I didn't pass him directly, but I saw a shadowed figure about his size pass by the doorway. I'm certain it was him.
How can you be sure it wasn't Chandler Bennington?
Helen asked, narrowing her gaze.
He was bothering Mary about seeing that book, wasn't he?
Sylvia shrugged again.
Yes, he was quite insistent about it, but I don't think he'd be bold enough to come down the hall. Everyone knew it was off limits until the pie-eating contest began.
Do you think he was interested enough to try to get a look at it himself without Mary?
Helen continued with the interrogation.
As I said, I really don't know.
Sylvia threw up her hands in exasperation.
I'm not familiar with him or his books. I'm sorry.
She frowned.
Can one of you please explain to me why some novel Mary bought at a rummage sale is worth all this fuss?
We have reason to believe the book had some value,
Nan said vaguely before asking another question of her own.
So, you saw a figure you presumed to be Howard Archer in the hallway while you were checking the kitchens you weren't supposed to be in.
What did you do after that, Sylvia?
Cheeks flushed, Sylvia huffed.
I already told you that I went back to the main dining room to make sure everything was set for the pie-eating contest. Why do I feel like I'm on trial here?
Did you go speak to Chandler Bennington as instructed?
Nance asked, ignoring her belligerent attitude.
Yes.
Sylvia crossed her arms and sat back, her expression annoyed.
I already told you that, too.
Where was he during your conversation?
Ruth asked.
At the bar.
Her nose wrinkled with distaste.
And he'd already had a few too many, if you ask me. Barely did more than grunt at me when I asked him about his presentation. I didn't want to linger. But then I didn't have to. That's when Lexi came in and made the terrible announcement about poor Mary.
Her face crumpled again, and tears slid down her face. She pushed to her feet and made her way to the door, where she stood to give them a pointed stare.
Now, if you don't mind, I have an appointment to keep.
Sylvia ushered everyone out of her office, then locked the door behind her before walking away without a backward glance. Nance waited until the woman was out of earshot before saying,
"Something doesn't add up here. The timing's off with what everyone told us. Sylvia says she talked to Chandler at the bar after she saw Howard a second time in the hallway, because she'd gone to check on the kitchens, where she never should have been in the first place. But if Chandler killed Mary, he would have passed Howard in the hallway too, right?
Or if it was the other way around and Howard is the killer, then Chandler would have seen Howard from where he was sitting at the bar. But he denied seeing anyone but me,
Helen said.
Not to mention that Helen didn't see Howard or Sylvia or Chandler,
Nan said.
There's one way to find out for sure, Ruth said. Let's perform a reenactment to determine exactly how everything took place and work out the timing ourselves.